The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Lindsay. Always great.
Brilliant.
Yeah, really good. Les Blues, 0-0, 54th minute in sweltering Philadelphia. Now, Lindsay, I want to run this by you real quick. We'll bring in Heather Rule. Any way you're sitting in the sun in Philly for this World Cup match?
0.000. You know how I feel about Philadelphia, A, right?
Yeah.
B, you know that city is stinking today. No chance, not even if I was paid to be there, because they wouldn't do the press like that. Or maybe they will. It's FIFA.
Well, here's the thing. It's one thing hot and humid in the cities. In the really big cities like Chicago or New York or, you know, L.A., when it gets really hot, it's a different vibe. I mean, people in particularly in New York can be surly. Can you imagine? Or in Philly, when it's hot and humid like this, oh my. Heather Rule joins us, local sports journalist, covers the Wild and will cover the Wild for NHL.com. She covers the Frost and is a regular contributor on this program, and we're grateful for that. Heather, you've made it into the studio. That is tremendous on this for it. Thank you.
Yes, first time in the studio. I was down at the Taste of Minnesota just a few blocks away, and I figured, you know, why call in when I can just walk down the street, basically, and come say hi and be in studio. So
now, is the air working in studio? Because I'm not. You are there. Lindsay are there. I mean, this is a peek behind the curtain a little bit. Number one, is the air functioning?
Yes, it feels very, very nice in here. I tried to find some shady spots outside, but yeah, it's definitely summer. You know, I had my sunscreen on and everything, so yeah.
There you go.
Felt
prepared.
Great. Yes,
that's
oh,
right.
Course.
Sunscreen, kids.
Yes,
important.
I've got my hat on. Yes, yeah.
Now, give us a quick update on Taste of Minnesota. What was that like? What was going on? What was the vibe there?
Yeah, it was fun. I've been to it the past couple years now. It seemed a little smaller this year. I'm not sure. Like, they had a couple different blocks that weren't open. I remember last year they had different vendors and food vendors. So I grabbed a couple of things. I liked the vendors that had an actual taste on their menu. So something, a smaller portion. Like, I got a taste of cheese curds. So a little smaller basket, just enough so it doesn't fill you up and then you can't go get other food from other vendors. So I liked that. I didn't see that everywhere. But yeah, just a ton of food trucks and obviously live music going on too. So yeah, just a nice summer festival is what it's all about, Minnesota, right?
Well, and I don't know about you, but cheese curds are great, but I don't need a pail.
I agree.
You know,
yes.
Four
yeah, it was,
or five.
It was the perfect size. Definitely. Yep. Just a taste.
Yeah, because at the food building at the State Fair, they literally load up a pail for you. And it's like, no, I don't know how many people I would need to share that with. I'd probably stand out the door and say, cheese curds, anybody? Cheese curds?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever got at the State Fair. I don't think we've ever gotten the pail. I usually share with my dad.
Yeah.
Loves cheese curds too, and we share a basket there too. And the pail is just too much. That's, you know, unless that's all you want to eat for the day. But again, I'm a big, you know, let's have some smaller portions that way you can have more variety when you're there.
Yeah, it's just like I just want to taste the burger. I don't need a Whopper, if you will.
Yes.
That's cool. Now I was gonna run something by both of you. And this has to do with Wild, and everybody who's followed the Wild at all knows that on this date in 2012, now think about that, Zach Parise and Ryan Suter both agreed to come here on those blockbuster 13-year deals, and by the end of those deals, people were bored with it and wanted to move on, and Ryan Suter kind of became one of those guys, when can he leave, and so on and so forth. But at the time, I think about it, when I heard that news, I was absolutely blown away that they landed both.
Yes, definitely. That was a where were you kind of moment.
Right.
In Minnesota. I was telling Lindsay earlier, I said I had a couple photos that come up in my social media memories. And I was working down in Austin, Minnesota as a news reporter at the Austin Post Bulletin down there. And they have a 4th of July parade. We walked in that. And then I had some family there, too. And we all it was a very hot summer day like this one. And we all went to one of the local bars and had lunch and drinks. And I think I'd gotten a text or something because this was we were talking this before real smartphones and Twitter and
was a thing,
all that.
You did it from your computer.
Yeah. Or you had to like text like the 5-digit number to send out a tweet or something. It was not not like it is today. So I remember getting a text, I think, from someone about the deal. And I was kind of floored, too. I remember that. Like, wait, what? They got who? Those guys? And it was a similar feeling to what I would say with when they got Quinn Hughes this past season. Just sort of a where were they or where were you when that happened kind of thing with Quinn Hughes and Parisi Suter. So
well, let's not forget, Steve, those contracts were hella illegal. Like the league had to really clamp down. They're like, that's it. We've had enough of Ilya Kovalchuk and all those shenanigans he's doing with the New Jersey Devils and that precedent. But it was 12 years, right? I forget what the total dollar amount was. But just for context, Zach Parisi was coming off of a Stanley Cup final run in which he lost to the Los Angeles Kings. There was no bigger fan of Jonathan Quick than me at that point in time, Steve and Heather. There was no bigger fan. And then Ryan Suter was kind of the odd man out in Nashville because they had Shea Weber. He was kind of the big defenseman. They came up at around the same time. I forget when he got offer sheeted. That his contract just ended a couple years ago. I'm stupid hockey facts that don't matter right now. But Steve, I sacrificed a prime 4th of July to sit in my car and listen to K-Fan to break down this trade for at least 2 or 3 hours. Like I was in college and we were partying with one of my high school friends' college teammates. I'm talking like big house on Tonka. There's no house number on the outside. And I'm like, guys, save the blow up orca for later. I need to get the deets. I need to get the deets. And I remember it was a hot day. It was probably the most hopeful day in Minnesota Wild history at that point.
It was a huge deal. I mean, time for the way the franchise was going to, I mean, it was almost like a franchise saving.
Because they had been playoffs in a long time.
Yeah, it was, things were not great.
Was Todd Richards the coach? Was that what?
And here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought that up. Things weren't going well. And I remember, and I knew someone that had 4 season tickets to the Wild leading up to that. And they had heard from other season ticket holders and other sponsors of the club that they were like, I'm not so sure if I'm hanging in here and spending the big bucks at the time to go to the Xcel Energy Center. And it's a commitment. You know, you're buying 41 games and, you know, times 4 and parking and food and beverage, et cetera. And that was what led Craig Leopold, in retrospect, is it was kind of a bit of panic that I'm going to write the big checks and make this commitment and risk the ire of my fellow owners. And I think he felt it, you know, to bring these guys in because it was as much as anything, a huge business decision to kind of right the ship and get people on board to buy tickets and sponsorships and suites and et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and it's a very, I remember at the time just talking, obviously, everyone wants to win the Stanley Cup, right? That is the ultimate goal of everyone. I think it's gotten talked so much, you know, Leopold and Bill Guerin, you know, what he's done the past few years and kind of this win now mentality and bringing in Quinn Hughes. And, you know, they really want to accomplish that. I think at the time that was something Leopold had talked about, too. Like, hey, we're bringing in these guys and let's win a Stanley Cup. But, you know, for sure, if nothing else, it turned things around a little bit. And obviously, the getting to the playoffs, and you know, we all know how it turned out for those guys with the team. But you know, at like we said at the time, that was a huge, huge deal.
Yeah, and the only thing I remember at that time, and it's like, wow, they made a huge splash. This is unbelievable. The length of contract, Lindsay, as you talked about, the term, the dollars committed, etc. But when the dust really settled, even at the time, did you consider the two, either of those two? Now, the sum of the parts, it was a big deal and added a lot to the club. But neither of them felt like me at the superstar level of the NHL. They were very good players, but not superstar, not the upside like a Quinn Hughes. I mean, this guy is clearly a bona fide NHL superstar. You ask anybody, and it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, he is a top five guy in this league.
It's just like such a different hockey world then, and such a different style of game that was being played. Because I'm trying to think of what an equivalent would be today of those twin signings. Because if you would say, like, just to keep it on roster, Matt Boldy, I think Matt Boldy has probably been a lot flashier than Zach Parise ever was. And I'm not saying Zach Parise wasn't a skilled guy, but we all know he made his money by getting chopped in the back his whole entire career. Sure.
Took all those cross checks that were never called.
And Suter was a minute muncher. And so the league is in such a different place. And I'm just looking at the roster, like the 2012-2013 Minnesota Wild roster on hockeyreference.com, because they took down Cap Friendly and the NHL hates its fan base. But there's like Pierre-Marc Bouchard was still on that team.
Oh, yeah.
Brodin, a young Jonas Brodin was on that team. Cal Clutterbuck, who I still think is playing for the Islanders, was on that team. The man that's going to bring the Minnesota Gophers back to the promised land through his skills development, Matt Cullen, was on that team. Granlund, like, they were kind of meant to usher in that Charlie Coyle, Jason Zucker, Mikhail Granlund, you know, to help the kids along a little bit. But then the locker room split, and Jason Pominville wasn't having a good time.
Oh, man. These are
Stefan Vaillant.
Some of the throwback names.
Oh,
here.
My goodness. Yes. This is 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Time flies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're kind of in a moment now where the Wild, and it probably won't go down today, but there continues to be steam around the Dylan Larkin rumors that he wanted out in Detroit and at the Wild. But you brought up Matt Boldy, Lindsay, a moment ago. Heather, what are your thoughts on this? I can't imagine the Wild would consider giving up Boldy to land Larkin. That just seems foolish. Considering what Boldy was able to deliver.
Yes, I would agree. I was saying earlier, I'm like, I don't care what, because we were saying, well, you don't trade Boldy for Larkin straight up, just those two. But then I said, too, well, even if there's a package, like even, you know, you have, okay, Boldy and Yurov or some picks or whatever, you know, you kind of package Boldy with other players. I'm like, no, I still don't do it. I think you need to keep Boldy here, and especially after this past season that he had, he finally really kind of came into his own, put it all together. He, you know, had a great Olympics, obviously, too, and scored that huge goal in their gold medal games.
First gold game.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he was producing in the playoffs until the last round.
Right.
We can't expect too much too soon. He can't be Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah. Okay. We can just talk about the first round, how great that was, and how, you know, they took a step this year, as Bill Guerin likes to always say. You know, we took a step, important step. Obviously, it's not, you know, where they want to be still ultimately. So, yeah, I don't know, you know, what's going to go down there. But I just don't see how you can send Boldy out and to bring Larkin in. I don't see that happening. And one of the other things Garrett has talked about this week, too, is how, you know, with these moves that they have made and the trades and everything, and just, you know, that they've had a good team. They're a good team. They've been a good team. They're still a good team with the players that they have and the guys they brought in now. And I just think if you remove Boldy, that's a huge piece of it. It'd be like trading Wallstedt, too, which I, you know, they can still do, but I just don't think they should do that either. So, yeah, I don't know. It could be really interesting because it seems like Detroit's GM is a little bit, you know, playing hardball.
Stevie Y playing hardball. He's only like 3 years past his expected turnaround of that franchise. Because remember, Steve, he was running the Tampa Bay Lightning for a really long time, and he's the one that kind of set them up for success through their cup winning years. And they were sniffing at the title a little bit, and they had to add some pieces earlier in his tenure. But it's going to take a lot. There's a lot of untouchables on this team. And I know that the Minnesota Wild need a first line center like the Minnesota Vikings need a good offensive line. Like, this is a long held deficiency this roster has had.
Yes.
And so hopefully they don't get too excited or put too much into that package just to satisfy that need, that historical need. Because I think this team could probably find somebody else besides Dylan Larkin, too. Like, I don't think he's going to be the piece that really fixes everything. This is a very new NHL. Look at what happened to Leo Carlson. You
That's
see that
true.
Contract,
yes.
Steve? Did you see that Philadelphia offer sheeted one of the young stars in Anaheim. You don't offer sheet people in today's NHL.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it, too. I still think, and before we run out of time here and we got to get a weather update in, is this. I know Dylan Larkin and adding, but you got to get something done with Quinn Hughes, in my opinion, this summer and lock him in for a period of time because they give up a ton to get him. You can't run the risk that he could leave.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's something that hopefully is – kind of on the front burner now. Yeah. That was something Guerin kind of alluded to with his comments this week that, okay, they, you know, they had the draft, you had free agency, you know, they made a, you know, a few depth signings and, you know, the trade with Calgary brought, I think Zuccarello was the biggest surprise there this week that he's not coming back, but
for sure.
You know, a few pieces there were moving. And I think now the focus turns to, okay, getting the Quinn Hughes deal done. And also, again, if there's any kind of trade for Dylan Larkin or anyone else to fill kind of that center role. But one of the interesting things Guerin did say too about the Zuccarello piece was he kind of took some responsibility for that and said, you know, I didn't reach out early enough to Zuccarello after the season, and that was on him, Guerin said. And so it was surprising, I think, to a lot of us that Zuccarello is not going to be back for next season. But you know, hopefully that's a piece that Guerin, okay, maybe learned, hey, I didn't reach out to Zuccarello, but now let's talk to Quinn Hughes and make sure we get this done. Because I think you're right. Those are kind of the two big priorities that we're focusing on now, like Quinn Hughes, and is there another kind of blockbuster trade or signing that they're going to get done here this summer?
Well, and, you know, when that came to light, Heather, and I'm glad you brought that up, that he was able to admit that, you know, Matt Zuccarello ending up with the Kings is a little bit on me for not communicating. That's a bit of an eye-opener.
Yeah, I was, you know, a little surprised to hear that. At the same time, I appreciated, you know, his candidness. And
for sure.
He's usually a pretty straight shooter with us. So, I was kind of surprised at how this all went down because I think we all just assumed it was a no-brainer. It was interesting.
Kind of an important guy.
Yeah, right? And they brought back Nick Foligno to one-year deal, which I think that was more about, you know, is Nick Foligno going to retire? Or if he is going to play, you know, one more year, why not stay here with your brother? And Guerin did call that a no-brainer signing, which I thought was interesting, because it certainly was if he's going to play again. But yeah, we all, I think there was a consensus that, well, bringing Zuccarello back is a no-brainer. And especially we saw how Kaprizov kind of fared without him in the small sample size of some of those playoff games where Zuccarello was out injured. So I think this is a definite shift now, and we'll see. It'll be really interesting to see Kaprizov kind of, as I put it, you know, share his toys with some other kids now in the sandbox, and he's not going to have Zuccarello. But I think ultimately that can be a really good thing too. And he's obviously coming into that big new contract, and he's got the skill set on his own to be a scorer and a playmaker, which he's shown.
Well, Heather, always good to visit with you on the show. Thanks for the time. Thanks for stopping by the studio. Have a happy and safe 4th of July. Lindsey Brown is here. I'm Steve Thompson. Quick update. We'll come back, get an update on the weather. We do have some warnings on the board. North and northwest of the cities. We'll do that. We'll squeeze in, read, and react, and call it a day here on this 4th News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.